The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us
soon. Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Oh, you insulting tongue, it mocked my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Woo! Woo, yeah, woo!
Yay. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G, and woo! I'm joined tonight by my man doing the physical sound effects tonight. Me joining us after his hiatus due to work at RaddyCat on Twitter.
Yay! Woo! What's up, everybody? I had another intro, but that didn't work. All right, we're getting together, people. What's up?
If you're not watching live, this won't matter to you, but we are just getting started a little later tonight because Roddy Cat and myself just got done separately watching Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, and Agent 70 also saw it tonight, but he probably has a longer trip home, so if we're still recording by the time he gets home, he'll be joining us. But yes, we saw Dawn of Justice, our initial, I guess, reactions without giving any spoilers or anything away. Roddy Cat, you would say?
To quote Robin and Young Justice early on, I was whelmed. Pretty much whelmed. It was a technically well-made movie. It hit the beats it was going to. We kind of figured it was going to be. And it was all right. Yeah.
My reaction was more meh. I had issues with it, but I'll say those for myself for now. Maybe I'll do a write-up on theclicknation.com where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. And make sure to follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Naturally, just go to theclicknation.com, and when you see the social media buttons, you'll see how you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google+. Make sure to sign up for the Declick Nation newsletter. There's a nice little text field. Put your email address and click the subscribe button. Remember, we are part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. Go to cspn.us to check us out there and all the other podcasts on the network. We record live normally Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you're on a social media talking comics, make sure to use the hashtag CBCron or Comic Book Chronicles so we can see the conversation and join in. So we're changing the format again this week. If you watched or listened to last week's episode, we started with comic book reviews first and then went to news. And tonight we're going to try the same thing again. Just dive straight into the comic reviews and what we've read for the week.
Let's do it.
Let me share the episode out to everybody. Let them know that we're live if they want to tune in live. As soon as Twitter or TweetDeck decides to behave for me, because now it wants to be slow.
Hey, you're using web version. Never mind.
I'm using TweetDeck. And as soon as this, and I'm actually going to close it now because it's going to slow me down too much. There we go. All right. What do we want to talk about first? Do we want to go to the Ultimates since both of us read that?
Yeah, let's do that.
So the team of the Ultimates have gone outside the Omniverse. Is that the way they described it?
That is.
They're outside the Omniverse to try to solve the issue with time being broken from all the different time traveling occurrences happening in the Marvel Universe.
And apparently still happening.
Yeah. And the ship that they are on is having some issues after they break through the Omniverse because they're in a location that no one else has traveled to before. And just as their ship explodes, Galactus shows up to save them because he's now a Lifebringer.
As I like to call him, Golden Galactus, because he's had a change.
He's dripping in gold.
Yeah, he's flossing.
Yeah, he's flossing.
He's blinged out.
He's been listening to the Hot Boys.
All right, yeah, let me just go ahead and do this. But that's the whole thing. So the ship disintegrates basically, and America Chavez, who had pushed herself to get them that far, was kind of out of it. So you figured it would. It almost seemed like something they would have normally put at the end of the story, but it wasn't that serious because, like I said, Galactus came along, saved them. And which this is where it got kind of interesting to me. Well, not that it wasn't already, because Galactus starts going into pretty much explaining Marvel's sliding timescale, in a sense, if you think about it. So, because he's talking about it, it's like, yeah, you know, the past can change and, you know, the future still can change along with it and that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's kind of how Marvel's been handling their history.
So, okay, I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, I guess he kind of explains the sliding timescale, like you said.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that was an interesting way to do it. I'm like, I don't know who, like, I'm assuming that's Al Ewing's thought to put that in there or whatever. But regardless, that was pretty well done. So.
And then this is probably one of the better follow-ups to Secret War that we've gotten so far in the all new, all different Marvel.
And probably the closest we're going to get too.
It's the first book that actually even shows the Fantastic Four.
And then you're right.
And I mean, outside shows, of it shows them and their
Doom shows up in this.
Their new jobs of creating universes out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like just like a flashback sequence or just like a quick look at what they're up to.
Right. It's basically like, hey, in case you have a cursory reminder of what happened during Secret Wars, or at least happened after Secret Wars, which I thought was kind of strange. It was like, okay, clearly this is going to turn into something, because
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have brought that up otherwise, with the specific people, especially with the specific people that they showed, because basically you saw Reed and you saw
Molecule Man,
and no, I'm thinking of Franklin. That's what I was thinking about, Franklin. Then they had, they kind of briefly talked about Dr. Doom, and then there was this other outcast that they talk about, which we will bring up in a second, which kind of makes sense actually going forward, because after this part, like Galactus was still explaining, we cut to Eternity
in chains
and looking rather ragged. So something's clearly going on with that.
Who would be strong enough or powerful enough to do that to Eternity?
Exactly. And then we see this other figure kind of roaming about through the off and on through the pages, and it ends up being, which I don't know if I can do a spoiler.
Oh, the spoiler.
It won't let me do anything anymore. So great.
That's not it, is it?
That's not it.
Wait, which one was it? Nope.
Sure. Well, we'll work with it. Thanos pops up.
Oh, the heroes.
Yeah, there we go. Spoiler bell. Yeah, I guess that makes, yeah. So Thanos pops up. He is also in Beyond, and from what the story says, he's been kind of traveling as an outcast in the depths of Beyond or the outside of the Omniverse, until Galactus kind of rips his way back into the Omniverse and he follows along Galactus, which I'm surprised nobody didn't see him there. So that was kind of weird. And I think that's pretty much where we left off, because the only other thing that happened was Ant-Man kind of was trying to go at Galactus. And
piece of you.
Yeah. And Adam was like, you fool, he's keeping the thing that's keeping us alive. I was like, all right. Yeah, that was pretty not smart.
I just thought of something. What's it seems like it was a good issue. I liked how Kenneth Rockefort, the artist.
Yeah, the art's been great.
He went out. He really outdid himself as far as how the panels
mm-hmm.
displayed how different the Omniverse and sort of the emptiness of them being out in nothingness looks.
Yeah,
a lot of the white background and black backgrounds. And now that I think about it, Al Ewing's other book this week, Contest of Champions number 6,
mm-hmm.
touches on a lot of Secret War stuff too, because we see how the Maestro got pulled from there to the battle realm for the Contest of Champions, and how he teamed up with Punisher 2099, Jake Gallows, I think his name is, mm-hmm. and basically how they've been playing everyone up until the point of the present. And we have PCN Dirt on with us, I believe. Can you hear us? We can't hear you.
Can't hear you. Nope.
The camera panned to you, but so in Contest of Champions, again, it's the recap of what Maestro. It's cool because it showed Maestro in the destroyed remains of Battle World,
right?
And then all the elders of the universe show up, and we are introduced to all the different. I know. I think it's like 12 of them. The Collector, the Game Master, and like Executioner, and
right. they all have seen in years.
Yeah, I guess they're probably known to Marvel hardcore fans, but I wasn't familiar with any of them.
Yeah, as soon as you said those, I know who else. Well, got an idea who else would have been in that pantheon.
Yeah, so. And everyone picking their own champions and how the collector chose Maestro.
Right, like a Pokemon.
Yeah, so the current game's ended, but it looks like another contest is about to get going in the next story arc.
Gotcha. Wait, was this one where somebody was supposed to show up, like the Avengers or somebody?
The Ultimates.
The Ultimates showed up? Was this that one? Okay, that's what I thought.
White Fox, who I believe showed up in the previous issue of the Contest of Champions, goes to them for help since it involves like multiversal traveling between different universes and or realities and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, I think she's been there the whole time.
That's right up there, Atlee.
Yeah, so that kind of makes sense. I kind of enjoy the fact that Al Ewing's been kind of weaving his other books into each other a little bit. So
they've played by themselves for a while. Now they're starting to intertwine a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Illuminati, and that's not his. We'll get to that in a few. But yeah, I hadn't had a chance to read Countess of Champions. Like I said before we started, I was kind of an issue behind. So I'm looking forward to seeing this because I've been enjoying the book despite being behind.
Okay. So.
Where we want to go to next.
Did you want to do Illuminati since did that come out?
Yeah, I did. We're finished with Ewing stuff, right? Because neither one of us.
Yeah, because we haven't read.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess you want to check on PC and Dirt right quick.
Okay. No, still can't.
Still can't.
Technical difficulties, folks.
If you want to, you can try to hop off and back on and see if maybe that'll solve it.
Yeah.
We'll be here discussing Illuminati number
5.
Okay.
So here we are. I have said every time I've been on this show that I've been enjoying this book, and this one is no exception. Matter of fact, this is probably a possible click of the week candidate. Well, this is a click of the week candidate. So what we have is after the Mad Thinker betrays the group and leaves Asgard by blowing up Black Ant and taking what he wants, the team gets caught by the Asgardian guards. And Titania was like, I'm not... Uh-oh, Tim, you still there? Ooh, huh. Tim's frozen. Or I'm frozen. So I don't even know. Anybody hearing me? Which I don't think so. We are having technical difficulties here.
Hello?
Hey, Dirt.
Ah, you hear me now.
Yes.
Just as Tim lost power, apparently.
Just, I think so. Yeah, I think it's still live, so. I don't know.
He's in Disney.
Ooh, you just roboted out there for a second.
All right, I'm limiting my bandwidth, see if this helps.
All right.
I'm actually on my Surface tablet at the moment.
Nice.
Everyone else in the family is asleep right now, so I'm hiding out here in the kitchen and trying to do it while everyone's sleeping.
Gotcha.
But do we know for certain that we're live? If Tim drops out, he was hosting the show. Doesn't that mean the feed goes dead, or does it continue without him?
Well, I'm still seeing the live tag up at the top, so I'm going to assume we are. I'm checking the YouTube page right now. So bear with us for a second, folks. This is
going to
be.
Did you go see the movie, by the way?
I did. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before you got on. The consensus is Tim's kind of meh about it, and I'm. Oh, yeah. We're still live.
All right. Well, Tim
just popped back. Around, so, yeah.
I'm back.
So,
there he is.
Yeah. But, yeah, we, like I said, we talked about it a little bit. Tim's kind of meh, and I'm not too far away from that art myself. So.
Most of the reviews I've read either say that they hated Man of Steel, which for me says you're disqualified, or B, they're upset because there's no joy in it. Like, there's no yeah, and it's not like, the big thing is, like, it's not like the Avengers movies that are fun.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's kind of the point, really.
Yeah, true. Like, everybody that was in the theater with me were kind of, you didn't hear any, like, overt applause like you did when Force Awakens happened or at specific parts of the thing. People were just, like, there just watching it and whatnot. There was one comment after it, I should have brought this up earlier. There was a comment after the thing was over, which, by the way, there's no, after the credits shows or anything, because that's a Marvel thing, but people still stayed around for it either way. I'm guilty, admittedly. And the only other thing was like somebody commented on how hot or lack of hotness that the Wonder Woman was. Once I was like, okay, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but all right, sure. But outside of that, yeah, like I said, that's what it was. I don't know if Tim wants to say anything else because he's, you know.
It was very, can anyone hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, okay. That's why it's not switching. Okay, there we go. Very dour, I think that's the right word. Like PC and Derp mentioned the darkness before. I'll chime in and agree with that. It's very, very dark.
Which, I mean, that just shouldn't be a problem because it just should have been expected realistically.
Well, if you go on like Rotten Tomatoes and look at the reviews, a lot of the reviews are, you know, oh, it's not fun. There's no joy in it. Where's the campiness or the fun banter that we've come to expect from comic book movies? And it's like, well, that's not what the Dark Knight Returns was trying to do, that this is loosely based on, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I don't go to Rotten Tomatoes. But there was one thing I did see, like a couple of days ago, somebody went to a screening and they said this movie was not made for comic book fans. It was made for everybody else, which granted, most of them are, if not all of them. So that, and I understand why they said that after actually seeing the movie, even though they kept relatively close to some of the stuff they were going through, I guess. So.
It reminded me, it would have made a great Injustice movie.
Yes, I thought about that, because I was like, everything was almost in place for that, too, which, who's to say that can't happen at some point? We don't know. There was a couple parts about it, it sounded like it was going down that route, so, but you're absolutely right about that.
So, I guess you'll see it at some point, Dirk?
Oh, yeah, at some point, I just hate
at a website near you.
People. So no, I just hate people in general, so I don't like going to where they go. So
that's fair.
I'll wait a couple weeks, you know. I finally saw Deadpool, you know, like a week ago in the theater. So you know, it takes me a while. I'll get there, but just not right away.
Yeah, that's fair, because it was crowded and people were being people. So
it was not crowded at mine at all.
Really? You got a good theater. I'm
in a small town and three theaters, and the theater I went to was playing it at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And probably people were coming in later.
Yeah, and some of those were 3D showings, so I just saw regular showing.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so that's that. So
we're doing the reviews first and then into the news at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, that thing. We were still in the middle of Illuminati number 5, if I'm not mistaken. And where did I leave off? They were in Asgardia. They got caught. Titania was like, nope, this is not happening, and just hulked out, and because she's been getting a power, she's apparently has a power upgrade that makes her stronger than what she was, and she was already pretty strong. So after they're getting out of that, and they escaped Asgardia with another set of upgrades, because the blood of the hood apparently has been studying magic a little bit more, so he had a couple of tricks up his sleeve, which kind of makes me wonder where this takes place in, or if it does takes place in the, you know, the regular universe, because you see with Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch and those, magic is dying and or dead at this point of, or dying and or dead at this point of Doctor Strange. So I'm not sure where. I'm just going to assume that this is before that stuff is going on, because of a few issues back that kind of makes that, but I don't know what's the case. But the only other thing that we find out in this book is that, like I said, Titania's got an upgrade, and it's apparently for a reason. The Hood's kind of had a plan in action, which has been going, you know, the way he's been planning, outside of the fact that Mad Thinker betrayed him, and that the Enchantress was not the real Enchantress, which I had a question about when this book started, because there is a couple of them running around, and matter of fact, there's another book that kind of talks about another fake Enchantress, but there's been an imposter Enchantress running around, you know, and I don't think we've seen the real one since Loki's book, if I'm not mistaken. So, but then there's the other girl kind of taking her place and whatnot. But like I said, I love this book. It's a potential click of the week, and we end off with them trying to, I guess there's going to be some explaining as to how or what's going on with Titania's powers, and you know what the Hood's actually been up to at some point. Should check it out though.
I may have to read this since I see Kev Walker did the art on it.
Yeah, and the art was pretty good. I can't remember if he's been there the whole time. I don't think so.
Sean Crystal, I think, was the
because watch.
That's right.
I read the first one, and the artwork was one of the reasons why I didn't stick with it. Actually, when I was on vacation, I never talked about this, but when I went to Florida, I actually stopped at 3 different comic shops, and one of them being the one that's actually in the Universal Park that's run by Marvel. And when I was in the one in the park, the Marvel store just has the most random selection of books. It's almost like the stuff that got overprinted is what they stock inside that store. So, like, they had A-Force 1 and 2, but then right next to it is Secret Wars Ghost Riders, like, number 4 or 5 or whatever. And then next to that would be, like, Howard the Duck number 2, but no number 1. You know, it was just, like, this weird, you know.
Hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're doing, like, an outlet store.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I mean, it really doesn't matter because not a lot of people there are going to be buying comics, you know, to take home and collect. But but I did pick up Illuminati 1, A-Force 1 and 2, Drax 1, 2, and 3. Trying to think what else. Something else.
I noticed that Illuminati has the Avengers logo like the other Avengers books does in the corner.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I didn't know it was fell under that umbrella.
I'm not sure what that umbrella is at this point.
Well, Squadron Supreme also has that logo on it, I think.
Yeah, it does. That and all the Avengers titles, Ultimates, Squadron, Illuminati, I guess.
Did you guys talk about New Avengers already?
No.
That was the one Al Ewing book we didn't get to.
Okay. Well, I actually read that one because my son wants to collect everything that's Avengers Standoff. That's his first big Marvel crossover that he wants to get into, a Standoff. So
how's that going around?
We've been buying all of those. And honestly, I didn't care for it that much, especially compared to All New, All Different Avengers that was this week. That one was much better than this one. The problem I had with this one is that it felt... most of the other books are written in such a way that if you've never read them before, it's fine. You know, it gives you enough information that you understand who everybody is and why they're there. But this one gives you absolutely none of that. And so if you have not been reading New Avengers, there's a lot of stuff in here where it's like, well, who's that person and why are they there? And, you know, what's going on with that? And you don't know. It just doesn't tell you. And it also ends silly. For Standoff being kind of I don't want to say it's necessarily a dark story, but it's, you know, this darker idea of, you know, the supervillain prison and the way it works and everything. I don't want to give it away. I'm sure somebody already has. I'm sure a lot of people already have. But it just ends with the silliest ending in the world that just kind of had me shaking my head. Like, what is, like, how does this even have anything to do with this crossover and what is supposed to be going on in this story? It was just, it was very disappointing. I'll say that. Especially because All New, All Different Avengers was really good. Did anybody read that one?
I think Tim did. I hadn't had a chance yet. Yeah, neither have I.
I mean, compared to New Avengers, this one is, you know, 10 times better. And this one actually does a much better job of taking elements of the story that we've already seen in Standoff, and it shows you the other side of what's happening and then continues on. So as far as the crossover goes, this feels like a much more interwoven story, and it plays the story along in a way that makes much more sense than what we see in New Avengers. You guys haven't read it, so I don't want to, you know, give a whole bunch of stuff away, but basically this one is much more serious and much more focused on the crossover, whereas New Avengers is less about the crossover and more about just one... I want to say it's really about one random thread from Standoff, and it just kind of picks up on that random thread. But
Speaking of, while we're on that subject, speaking of, there's a couple things I want to bring up because I totally forgot about something, Illuminati. At the end of the book, at the end of Illuminati number 5, Titania and Hood are talking about basically going to get, trying to find Crusher Creel, who is in Standoff, or is in Pleasantville, which means they're going to be, Illuminati's going to be in Standoff next month.
Mm.
So there is that. And also, there's these, I'm looking at the All New, All Different Avengers Woman of Power variant cover I have on the screen for the people watching video. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there's the gutted up.
Yep, that one. So yeah, we got one.
Yeah. And then there's, did you get the Ultimates one?
Let me see here. Which one was that?
It's this one with America Chavez on it.
No, we did not get that one.
Okay. So, yeah, there's been a couple of the Women of Power variants. There's actually been some pretty nice art. I'm trying to remember. There was one Nuttall did, but I think that was from last week. Oh, no, here we go. Okay, number 5 while we're at it. Or was it number 5? Yeah, number 5. And that's Nuttall doing that one. So I had to get that one.
Who did the Miss America Chavez one?
That one I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not sure who did either one of the other two. We'll find out real quick. But while we're talking, while we're going on to something else.
No, we're just going to sit here with dead air until you figure it out.
You know, wouldn't be the first time this episode, so. Yasmine Putri.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that person doing a lot of the cover work for a bunch of the recent Marvel books.
Hoping I said that name right.
All right. What do we want to get to next?
Let's see. Well, I only have two more books left, so.
What do you got?
Star Wars 17.
That's exactly where I thought you were going.
Woohoo! Okay, Luke and Han are scruffy-looking Nerf herders. I think that's pretty much what they need.
Who are you calling scruffy?
So Ooh, here scruffy. We have... Exactly. So here we have... We still are in the Rebel Jail arc, which I'm still thinking is kind of a filler. It doesn't really matter. So we on one side, we have Leia and Sana in the prison where they took Aphra, who's just got taken over by some group of, we're not sure, but somebody basically just took it over, and with the cause of saying, hey, these people are criminals, they need to die. And Leia's on her spiel like, nope, these people deserve to, you know, we're not the Empire, we don't do that kind of stuff. So then dude who's in control let out all the, or some of the prisoners, and was like, well, you either kill these people or you're dead. And then so Sana and Leia are trying to round these people up after a scuffle with one of them. There are also some killer droids that are going around killing a bunch of inmates, one of them being Aphra, who got saved by Leia and Sana and got let out by Leia and Sana to help them take the jail back over. And that's where that part ends off. Now, I think I remember seeing y'all talking about Darth Vader from a couple of weeks back or a month ago, whatever it came, when that one came out, that had a part in it with a bounty hunter that thought that was trying to trick Vader.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought then that was going to actually spoil something that was happening in this book, because apparently this is where she is right now, and that wasn't the case. But it's still, there may still be some link to that. I'm not sure. But on the other side of this book, we have Luke and Han after Han gambles away all of the money they had, trying to get all of the rebellion money back. And Luke gets sent into the town because Han can't show his face to get some to drum up some business for him, let's say, some smuggling business. And that's where the Nerfs come in, because they end up shipping a bunch of Nerfs, not the plastic footballs and darts and stuff, but a bunch of buffalo-looking things, of course, that are getting in the way. And they also meet up with some Imperial Resistance, so they're trying to outrun that. And that's pretty much all we get out of that part of it. So that's pretty much how that book's been going. Like I said, I think the main part of it is pretty much the stuff with Luke, I mean, with Leia and Sana in jail and how they're handling that.
I feel like the Star Wars stuff is kind of, some of the appeal has worn off on me with the books. Like, this Rebel Jail does nothing for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it might be a filler arc.
And even the Vader Down, I guess Vader Down was fun adventure story crossover. Darth Vader, I'm 2 issues behind on, and Obi-Wan and Anakin, I don't even know if I'll finish that.
Which was also this week, but I didn't read it, so...
I think the fun of Vader Down was trying to figure out how do you do a crossover with all these characters running into each other without ruining anything that comes after,
right,
that we know, you know, in Empire. So how do you juggle these characters and make a crossover work? And I think they did a really good job with it. This particular issue of Star Wars, like, I liked it. It was really fun and really entertaining, but this is probably one of the worst issues for new readers. If you're a new reader trying to pick up this book and you pick up this issue, you will probably never come back because you have no idea what the hell is going on. But
unless you actually like the characters that are in there, like you see, you know, Luke and Han on the cover and they're like, hey, this is enough for me, that kind of situation.
Right. But it's just one of those things where, you know, it's this one is not new reader friendly at all, but it was still a lot of fun. I still enjoyed it quite a bit. It's just kind of tough, you know, balancing those two things from time to time of how do you bring in the new readers and keep a story going, you know. And part of that is also, like, from the retailer point of view, of just being, like, trying to sell someone on comics. Oh, I hear there's a Star Wars comic out. Yeah, but don't grab that one. Find a different one, you know.
Yeah, although I've been hearing about people just collecting everything they have, and I'm slightly guilty of that myself, actually, now that I think about it, because most of the books I've been picking up physical, with the exception of a couple. But that said, and by the way, going back, by saying, and it was a filler arc doesn't mean it isn't a bad arc. It just means that, you know, the stuff you would kind of think would happen, you know, in a Star Wars book. But then you got to do something, you know, because it can't always be that one, you know, it can't be just the main characters doing stuff we know from the movies, because, you know, that's not going to make the book last that long.
Mm. All right. Agent 70 is trying to join us right now.
We'll be my best. Able to hear him. Oh, we can hear him.
Doing my best. I saw that you guys were having some technical difficulties. Thanks for hanging out late enough so I could hop on for a couple minutes.
No problem.
Sure. I'm trying to figure out, is it showing the cover correctly for Star Wars? Is it acting all weird?
Yeah, it is now. It's kind of cut to a side part.
It's showing it correct now.
Yeah.
Because it seems like maybe it's trying to cut them off. Facial recognition, like trying to follow the face, and it doesn't know what to focus on.
Terry Dodson's art's a little too...
Too real for him.
Yeah, too real for Google.
That's too funny.
Oh, man.
I can't get my lower third to come on. I love it. Yeah. This is what happens when I turn it on, when I use Chrome.
Yeah.
All right.
PC and Dirt, anything you want to touch on?
Wait, doesn't Roddy have one more?
Okay.
Yeah, we can get to that one. Oh, I mean, okay, fine. Patsy Walker, Hellcat number 4. This book's actually been pretty good. I've been enjoying this. It is a definition of a fun book. And I guess going back to what I said about fake enchantresses, this is the book that I was speaking of, because an old defender's enemy of Patsy's and Valkyrie's and everybody else and all those other people shows back up. Cassiolina, I believe, is her name. And she's trying to basically amass a bunch of Inhumans together, you know, with the promise of power, and to, I guess, to take over the place. And it's also a vendetta against Patsy. So, one of them kind of goes after Patsy, who's been kind of going in and out. Patsy and Valkyrie get captured by Cassiolina. And then there was a betrayal, basically, by Cassiolina with the person who was originally sent to bring back to capture Patsy. Outside of that, there was supposed to be a meeting between She-Hulk and Patsy and the girl who was a rival because of the old books. They're pretty much referring back to the old books, you know, the old romance books or whatever. And this person is kind of reprinting Gumball, and Patsy didn't know anything about him, so she was trying to stop it. And Patsy was late for the meeting because she was too busy stopping this other person. But outside of that, it's a fun book. It's cool. I've been enjoying it. And that's it for that.
Alrighty. Who read Batman 50?
I did. I know Dirt did.
I only read maybe, have liked this a lot.
I only read maybe one third or a half of the book.
Yeah, Doug's Divine kind of spoke volumes.
Yeah, this was... You know, when I talk about books taking the 9,000 random threads and pulling them all together, mm-hmm. This is one of those. This is another one of those issues where some stuff that didn't make sense again. You also get the culmination of the whole Jim Gordon as Batman thing and Bruce Wayne not being Batman. That gets taken care of. You get a twist on a suit with a new suit. It's a little different. Not a huge difference.
Yeah, I was about to say it's not a big change.
But there's a nod to the old, instead of having the yellow oval around the bat symbol, now it's the yellow outline around the bat symbol, but it's, you know, one of those little nods.
Right. At least there's some yellow now. Right. I was about to say there's at least some yellow now, because it used to be the yellow oval and the yellow utility belt.
Right. So the one thing I didn't like about this, and it's probably due to the length of the book, is that the art does change towards the end. And I think that's just simply a matter of this being an oversized issue. It's a $5.99 special issue. It's like, I don't know, 40 pages or 48 pages, something like that. I mean, it's, you pick it up and it's thick. Like, you can tell that this is one of those bigger books. So probably because of that, they had to change up the artwork a little bit. But, you know, overall, there were the jokes to Commissioner Gordon and his mustache, and you had... you found out what happened to Bruce Wayne's girlfriend, which I'm not sure if he still remembers her or anything will, you know, ever happen with her again. But we do see that she happened to survive, but she also may have figured things out. You know, you got the story behind Mr. Seed and everything that happened with him. We got what's his face from We Are Robin.
Isn't it Mr. Bloom, not Mr. Seed?
Or Mr. Bloom. Mr. Bloom. Mr. Bloom has his seeds.
I mean, you were right in the ballpark. Right.
I was in the wheelhouse. That's right. But yeah, yeah. Mr. Bloom and his seeds, and how all that came about. We got our new Robin, which is the guy from We Are Robin. What's his name?
Duke Thomas.
Duke. I want to say Drake, and I knew that was wrong. he's not a terrible rapper. This is Duke. And
oh no.
But you know, Duke, you haven't really gotten a whole lot of him in this series. You've only seen, you know, bits of him here and there along the storyline. But again, he is one of those characters that's been woven into the story over the past year, year and a half. You've seen glimpses of him here and there. So he's not a character that comes out of the blue.
Haven't really seen a Robin period in Snyder's New 52 Batman run.
Yeah, because they started out with Damian running off on his own, and they've pretty much stuck with that. So with Damian not being there, really, you know, this is what we get. But, I mean, the character works. The way they fold him in works. It follows those same beats that we get with a Robin, even though this one's a little bit different. It still works as far as, you know, who a Robin is and why he's there and, you know, how he gets brought into the fold. All of that stuff, you know, ties together and works. So, I mean, this is just one of those where, again, not new reader friendly, you know.
Definitely not.
If you've never read a Batman before, this is not the point to hop on. But this is him returning full costume, the culmination of everything that's been going on. And Gordon gives a speech at the end. He was, if you remember, I think it was 2 issues ago, he was getting ready to give a speech when Bloom attacked and, you know, spiked him and started killing everybody at this fundraiser thing, whatever. And Gordon was supposed to give a speech, but he had no idea what he was going to say. And so at the end of this issue, he's finally figured out what that speech would have been. And it's one of those, you know, great things about who is Batman, why does Gotham need Batman, you know, Gotham's the people within the city who, you know, live in basically the worst, dirtiest city in the world, and yet there's still a reason why Batman doesn't just abandon them, and this symbiotic relationship that they all have together. So it's just, you know, a good Batman story, a classic Batman story, and it was just really well done.
Okay. I felt like it was jam-packed. Obviously, it's extra-sized. I was holding up, I don't know, Dirt, you probably weren't paying attention to the screen, or at least my little screen, but I was doing a live unbagging of the...
You cutting it open. Yeah.
Okay, so I ended up with the full-color version of the American Idol / Jim Lee cover, Daughtry, you know, this dude, this musician who decides to... delve into comic book art. You know, I like the
overall...
Oh,
is that overall... really who that is?
Yes.
Oh, I just thought there was, you know, guy with the same name. I didn't actually realize it was the same guy.
I think we talked about it on a show. It might have been one of the shows you were on vacation.
Yeah, I know we brought it up in the past, but I did see something about it recently about him doing a cover, but I didn't know which cover it was.
Right. So, just, you know, very quickly about the book. I thought, you know, like as Dirt said so eloquently, it does wrap up a lot of the dangling storylines that Snyder had been weaving throughout this whole run on Batman post New 52, you know, from the start of New 52, right? So now we're at issue 50. So many of these storylines have been wrapped up. It does feel like we've achieved like a new status quo. We've gotten to a place where these characters have traveled, you know, quite a long way, especially Jim Gordon. We've seen him, you know, kind of de-age and then re-age, you know, with the rebirth of his mustache, his famous mustache. I kind of got a kick out of the girlfriend figuring out what's happening.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, this is probably the best Batman I experienced in the last 24 hours, and I'm sort of spoiling my my feelings on Batman versus Superman.
Do you want to get into your Batman v Superman?
Oh, you guys talked about it already?
Yeah, we already.
Yeah, a couple of times. Actually. Thoughts. Yeah.
So, okay, that probably says so much. Right?
I think that says it all.
And we're done.
That is Agent_70's review of Batman vs. Superman. No, real quick, I went with a bunch of people. You know, I went with a friend of mine and a bunch of his coworkers who were into comic books and comic book movies. And I had a very visceral reaction to a lot of what happened in the movie. It got to a point where I think I said out loud in not even a half full theater, which is so disappointing. I said out loud, Are you kidding me? I literally said that out loud. You know, I don't want to spoil which part I think I'm going to. I think what I'm going to do is, you know, we all know it's not spoiling anything if I say that.
When I think there's a couple of parts you could have said that on that. I'm thinking about it.
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely no, but like there was one that struck me so strong, and I had such a visceral reaction that I'm usually very composed in a movie theater. I don't say anything out loud. I don't like people who talk in the theater. But if something happens on the screen and I literally sit back and say out loud, "Are you kidding me?" really loud, where my friend is sitting a seat over, like two seats over from me, reaches across and like taps me on the shoulder and like, "Yeah, I know," you know, like basically, you know, telling me. It's the scene where we go from the heroes fighting each other to the heroes joining forces. We all know this is happening. This is not a spoiler. The reasoning behind this is just mind-boggling. And I literally just sat back and said out loud, "Are you kidding me?" I may have dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah. You know?
And, you know, there was just that one is the one that hit me so hard. You know, what's funny is that I walked into this movie knowing some of the weaknesses that had been kind of talked about in some of the reviews. I didn't read any spoilers in the reviews. I just sort of skimmed them to see, you know, general takes and criticisms and praise. And some of the criticism I read was very much on point. You know, some of the criticism about the music being heavy-handed, about the disjointed cuts in the movie, the storytelling being full of gigantic, epic-sized plot holes. You know, and obviously that one moment that no one wanted to spoil where I was like yelling at the screen, "Are you kidding me?" I thought Batman was good. I thought Affleck was actually pretty good as Batman.
You know, let me just say real quickly, I read two different reviews. Mm-hmm. One review was, "You will never get past the fact that Ben Affleck is Batman, and that's one of the worst things about the movie." And the other one said, "You'll never get past the fact that Ben Affleck is Batman, and that's what makes it so great."
That's so weird. Mm-hmm. What's funny is that there's a couple things, and like I said, I don't want to spoil it. I know, Dirt, you haven't watched it yet, right?
Correct.
So I don't want to spoil too much, right?
Well, this is the way I was first night anyway, so you probably would, you know, want to tread lightly.
Right, exactly. I don't want to talk too much about spoilers, but I thought that, you know, Ben Affleck was passable as Batman. He's all right. You know,
yeah,
I could deal with
it.
You know, I could deal with it. You know, whatchamacallit? That dude from Facebook is Luthor was killing me.
Yeah.
He was killing me.
I forgot to say that earlier. He was still not great.
He was killing me. I thought Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White was actually not very good either. I did not like the writing for his character at all.
Did you see Man of Steel?
I did.
Okay.
But I don't remember it being that bad. Mm. I'm trying to think of some of the other criticisms I had. I thought that there's a couple of scenes. What's funny is that there's a couple of scenes. I haven't played the Batman Arkham Asylum video games lately, but one of my friends who watched the movie with me was saying how there's a particular scene that's almost lifted right out of the video games. I'll leave you guys to figure that one out. It's, you know, like it involves like a lot of like the Batman the combat style. It's lifted almost right out of the video games. Let's see. I thought that a lot of the cuts in the beginning of the movie were just very awkward. Dirt, I'm not spoiling anything for you when I say that we don't necessarily need to see another origin of Batman, but I thought it was necessary.
Yeah.
Why is it necessary?
It's necessary because there's always going to be someone that's never seen it on screen before.
Plus, it ties into something that happens later on in the movie.
Exactly. But like I said, it doesn't, you know, I'm not ruining anything by saying that it happens because it happens in every freaking Batman movie.
Which is weird because that, I'm not, without saying the thing, I was like, you know what? I didn't even think about that particular tie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else? Oh, without
saying. They tried to get some of the Justice League stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of that. There's definitely lots of that.
Most parts I kind of enjoyed a little bit, though.
Well, I mean, those are the parts that would appeal to us, right? Yeah. We're almost like insiders. You know, we know what we're expecting. We know what we're looking for. All we have to see is just a little bit of a familiar symbol, and all of a sudden, our nerve radar is going off, you know, wildly. You know what I mean? Like those, the icons, the symbolic representations of these characters on the screens. As soon as you see that, you know what's going on. I'm trying to think of what else. There's so much that bothered me. I'm trying not to spoil anything. It's just a hard movie to watch. Let's put it that way. It's difficult to kind of slog your way through it. That was a lot of what I read, too. And Dirt, I don't want to prejudice your thinking on this, but you know, I watched.
No, you're fine because I've read a bunch of stuff about it.
Right? You know, did you watch? Did you watch the Rotten Tomatoes score go down?
Well, the funny thing was, is I saw the professional one was, you know, 20% or 30%, but the fan review was like 78%.
Because they're insane. The freaking fanboys are out there. I don't know what they're watching. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, because a lot of the reviews I read, and I talked about this a little while ago, was that people are complaining in the reviews that it's not fun and there's no camp to it and you don't get all the fun little one-liners like you get in the Avengers movies, mm-hmm. which my point was it's not supposed to be
right.
a movie like that. You know,
right.
it's possible to make superhero movies that are not all the same, you know, that
right.
don't all play off like a fun, you know, Saturday afternoon show for kids with a little bit of extra foul words, you know, mixed in with it.
The adults, so, right.
Yeah. So,
but at the same time, I don't think that it's successful in making it dramatic because it's overblown. You know, it's so heavy and ham-handed that it doesn't come across as anything that you can take seriously, and that's the biggest problem. My favorite headline review, I forget it might have, I don't know which website it was. It said it was the showgirls of comic book movies.
Okay, now that's just
I couldn't get that out of my head.
Right.
Well, there was one review that people kept linking where it said the movie is no fun. It'll make you hate superheroes, something like that.
I don't know if it goes that far.
The review linked back to GQ, which was strike one. The reviewer said she absolutely hated Man of Steel, so that was strike two.
Mm.
And then she said the much better movie that everybody should find their way to see is The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which starred Henry Cavill.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, you are now disqualified from the internet. Just stop now.
I still want to see that movie, but I don't know about all that.
Wow. Hey, guess what? The Rotten Tomatoes score is going down to 30%. Oh, my God.
I said it again. I don't really... Rotten Tomatoes is not a good benchmark for anything. I would say the same thing about Metacritic, but that's just...
It's a measurement, you know? It's what it is. It's a measurement. It's a poll, you know?
Yes.
So... I wouldn't, you know, make it my be all and end all. That's why I went to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, because if I was paying attention to the falling Rotten Tomatoes score, I wouldn't go and spend my money and watch this. But I wanted to watch it. I wanted to make a determination.
I probably would, because usually if it's saying something that bad, it's got to be something to watch. Because clearly there was something that like I would imagine this is another Fantastic Four. I imagine there's another Fantastic Four situation like that. That movie was just doomed to fail, and I'm sure the Rotten Tomatoes score was bad on that one too.
Right, but I think that with the Fantastic Four, obviously the Rotten Tomatoes score is going to play a bigger role because there's going to be more people on the fence about, you know, about spending their money. Whereas this, you know, with all the hype, with all the marketing, with all the recognizable characters in this movie, you know, it doesn't need to be sold as much. You know, so I don't think people are going to pay attention to the reviews as quickly as they would for a Fantastic Four movie. That's just my opinion. I think that's how a lot of people are operating with this movie.
If you go to Rotten Tomatoes, the critics' tomato meter is 30%, mm-hmm. but the audience score is 78.
Right,
because so people are insane. Who actually paid money to go see it are going, you know what? That's actually
pretty good. I haven't had a chance
to vote. Yeah, but aggregately, I don't think you're gonna.
Well, you know,
yeah.
but. You know, I know it's. A lot of people are going to be big fans of, you know, Wonder Woman's appearance in this,
which wasn't bad actually.
Right, a lot of people are going to be fans of some of the action sequences, but all in all, I don't think it was a pleasant movie to watch, and I struggled watching it. And I think that's the part where I agree with the reviewers as a whole that it was just very tough to sit through the whole thing, and that's never a good thing.
Man, the editing on this one is going to be interesting because we could just put all those separate parts together. And
well, anyone who happens to still be up and tuned into the live feed is getting a kick out of my review. But hopefully, when we get this all in audio, whoever's listening on audio has a chance to hear, you know, kind of us bounce back and forth on this.
All right, Classic.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, he won't be editing all that.
Are you doing? Okay.
Okay. He just uploads the episode.
Yep. Which is fair.
Yeah, he'll cut out some of the dead space, maybe, you know?
Well, hopefully that part where everybody cut out, that would be somewhat. Exactly. But whatever. But anyway, it is getting late. So we need to...
All right.
Yeah. before we get to more, let me do a quick ad read for shopping at Amazon. Visit cspn.us, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends to CSPN a payment that helps us keep the Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon through cspn.us. Do it today.
Well, since we just talked about Batman, we should probably talk about the one Superman book that came out this week. And that was actually Hyperion number one from Marvel.
Well played. Well played.
How was Hyperion?
It was Superman. That's the easiest. Superman is a trucker, and he's going cross country incognito. Wait,
didn't they do that in Superman, actually?
Well, I don't think he was a trucker, but they did have him go.
You're walking across the country, right?
Yeah, yeah. But in this, he's trying not to use his powers, I think was the thing with Superman. And Hyperion's, something happens in Squadron Supreme, and I'm not sure where exactly this ties in, because in the last Squadron Supreme, everything was fine when they left. So
No, when they were exiting Weird World, he was starting to have doubts.
Well,
issue where he started to reflect, where that started to come out.
Right, but he didn't walk away at the end of that issue.
True.
So in this one, he's separated himself for one reason or another. There's a girl who has figured out who he is. She's heard rumors of where he's at and what he's doing, and she figures out who the guy is, and she's on the run, and there are people trying to get her. So, without giving too much of it away, basically, she is doing everything she can to stick with him, and then when she gets attacked, she's trying to do everything she can to get him to use his powers in order to save them, and he's trying to do everything he can to not use his powers and to not, stand out and to not do anything too super heroic. And you've got the hip hop cover.
Yes, the Will Smith. Let's try not to remember that Will Smith used to be a rapper.
Oh, that's what that was.
Big Willie style.
Big Willie style. Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, so I can't contribute to that part.
It was a good Superman story. I mean, because that's really what it is. And as a Superman story, this one was pretty good. Does a good job of truth, justice, and the American way.
Great.
Interesting.
Which is pretty much how I sold it, because the girl at my comic shop was like, I don't know who Hyperion is. I'm like, Superman.
It really is. I mean, he's no Sentry, but he's pretty good.
Thank goodness.
But no, I enjoyed it. It's just the only thing is I'm not sure how it ties in exactly with what's going on in Squadron Supreme, because like I said, in that book, he hasn't, stepped away. He hasn't walked down on him, and at the beginning of this book, he has. So I'm sure there'll be something at some point to do that. But then I also saw Nightmask? Is that his name?
Yeah, Nighthawk.
No, Nighthawk. Nighthawk.
Nighthawk is getting his own series in 2 months. So maybe this is just part of the Marvel... throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, they're really pushing the Squadron, just like kind of like they're pushing a Weird World.
Although Weird World's starting to implode now. So
yeah. I dropped the main Weird World series. That actually fell prey to the chopping block. As much as I like Del Mundo's art, I love it, but I can't keep reading that. I can't keep buying that.
It's also fallen off the solicits mysteriously.
Oh, Weird World?
At least it wasn't on the June solicits, I believe.
No kidding.
Oh, okay. Which David Duff Walker is doing Nighthawk. I was about to confuse Nighthawk, who does Shaft and who does Cyborg and who's doing Power Man and Iron Fist. So I'm going to at least check it out for that.
All right.
Remaining books can be rapid reviews. So.
Okay.
Which I guess I have to go ahead and do them now. Teen Titans number 18. You get the origin of Wonder Girl, co-stars Wonder Woman. Grayson number 18, even though Grayson, a.k.a. Agent 37, and Agent 1, Tiger, were trying to take down Spiral, now they are trying to help Spiral because the mercenaries that Helena Bertinelli had hired to take down Agent 37 and 1, decided to go and take down Spiral, or actually just go take down Helena herself. So now they're trying to save her. And while that's going on, Agent Zero, well, actually, Helena gets injured during it, and the Dr. Nitz is trying to revive her, and then something weird happens where, like, this cocoon wraps around her to, I guess, heal her, and so, like, this resurrection-type deal where her and Dr. Nitz's father is trying to return, I believe. It got kind of confusing for me at part of it. With the, like, I didn't know Dr. Nitz and Helena were sisters, and then there's another scene with Agent Zero, who was a traitor originally. Sounds like she might be related to them as well. But there's a new creative team on it, because Tom King, Tim Seeley, and Michael Jannon have probably left to go get a head start on their DC Rebirth titles. So we have the co-writing team of Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, with I forget the artist's name, Antonio something. Let me look it right up right quick. As PCN Dirt is showing us the variant covers with the different color schemes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. You're flashed out.
There he goes. Look, it's pre-adult coloring book and after adult coloring book.
That actually would make a cool GIF.
That's kind of nice.
This is the pre-coloring book page here, mm-hmm. and then this is the finished coloring book page, and then this is as far as most people usually get before
they give up on the whole thing of coloring book. So the artist is Roge Antonio and Geraldo Borges. So I probably like pencils and inks.
Nice.
And We Are Robin number 10 was the last book I got to. It basically, Smiley is going around recruiting more teens to join his Joker's group. And then we kind of go around to the different We Are Robin teens and catch up with what they've been up to since they've disbanded the group. But of course, now it looks like Defy had to get back together because Smiley is about to begin his next assault on a public space. So kind of see what if there's any collateral damage or more deaths and murders in issue 11 coming up. But that's my rapid reviews for the week.
Okay. All right. I think you guys probably discussed all the books I read this week. Star Wars, The Ultimates.
Did you read New Avengers? Because we didn't do that one.
I did read New Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you just said that. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. How about Totally Awesome Hulk?
No.
Nope.
So I'll do a rapid review of Totally Awesome Hulk. So we wrap up the storyline with this monster hunter. We actually find out more, I think, the backup story, or at least the parallel story that's being told in the opening arc of Totally Awesome Hulk, was probably of far more interest to me than any of the stuff that was dealing with how Amadeus Cho is coping with his newfound power. The backup story I'm referring to, or at least the side story, the parallel story I'm referring to, is a flashback to how Amadeus gains the power of the Hulk and what may ultimately have happened to Bruce Banner. I thought that was the selling point for this issue. Those were the pages that I paid far more attention to as I was reading this. There is something afoot going on in the psyche, or at least in the back of the mind of Amadeus Cho, as he's sort of sharing space with the Hulk persona that may actually have a portion of Banner's personality or psyche in it as well. So we'll see how Greg Pak explores that. I don't know if this is going to remain on my pull list. It's good. The art is good, obviously, with Frank Cho doing a great rendition of the Hulk, and especially of a subtly Asian Hulk. But right now, I'm willing to wait this out and see what's in the next issue before I make any decisions. This was the end of the opening arc, and it is leaving me wanting more. But it's treading a fine line, in my opinion, for me. So we'll see how much longer I stick with this on the physical pull list. So that's pretty much it for what I read this week. It was kind of a tough week to get a lot of reading in, busy last couple of days. But I'm glad you guys talked about Ultimates number number 5, and if we're getting to clicks of the week.
No, wait.
Oh, no, you still have to go? I didn't have a chance to see what was on your list, that's why.
I didn't put anything on the list.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I want to talk about Badger number 2.
Nice!
Now, when I talked about Badger number 1 that came out, I said it was a very dense book. There's a lot of reading involved. Mike Baron is a guy who's been writing comics for a very long time, and since this is his book, his baby, and his, basically stepping back into the realm of comics, he's writing it as a writer writes, and that continues very much in this book. It is dense, it is thick, it is 9 billion pages of dialogue. The story moves like a story should move in comics. Stuff actually happens. A lot of times you read a comic and you get to the end and you realize that maybe you saw like 5-10 minutes of this story, passing by with the way the artwork a lot of times will go. This is a story. And in the first one, we got basically the life story of Badger. He's a guy with multiple personalities. He tried to join the army. He went crazy. They locked him in an asylum. He eventually met this guy who says he's an ancient druid. And in this issue, the ancient druid says not only is he going to get out, but he's going to make sure that Badger gets out as well. And using his, druid luck, charms, whatever, he magically makes his way out. Of course, everyone thinks he's still crazy, but he's able to, use a legal loophole in order to get out of being in the insane asylum. But somehow his magic druid luck continues, and he ends up with a winning lotto ticket, which gives him all the money in the world, more or less. And he buys an old, an old monastery, and he turns it into his new headquarters, and he hires Badger, and he hires the doctor from the hospital, and they're all working for him, and he says it's because Vladimir Putin is trying to kill him. And the reason why Vladimir Putin is trying to kill him is that Vladimir Putin is from the bloodline of Rasputin, and Rasputin was a high-level druid, and there are 4 high-level druids, the north, south, east, and west, and Vladimir Putin is trying to make himself the high-level druid on top of the other 4 druids, make those 4 high-level druids work for him. So basically what the story comes down to is that a crazy guy breaks another crazy guy out of jail, gets a bunch of good luck, and says that Vladimir Putin is trying to kill him, and it looks like it all may be true.
I love it.
I kind of want to read that, though. I don't know why.
Recap.
Wait, because I don't remember when you guys talked about it in the issue. Do we get into how he gets his powers, or if he has any, the Badger?
No, he doesn't really have powers other than the fact that he's just a really good martial arts guy.
Sure, okay.
And he thinks one of his personalities, I think, is a dog, and one of his personalities thinks he can talk to animals. And one of his personalities is an interior decorator. So, it all balances out one way or the other.
Okay.
Sure.
But, this book is it is insanely awesome.
This book is incredible.
It's incredible not only, in the way that the story is outrageous, but it's also incredible in just how much fun it is, it's one of those, I remember reading Badger in the mid-80s when it was originally coming out, and there were characters like Sister Twister, who was a nun who was a fearsome fighting force unto herself, and Sister Twister would go out and attack people and, whatever, and just these weird oddball things. It was almost like Badger led to the Tick, where the Badger was somewhat outrageous, but it was still kind of held back a little bit, and the Tick took it to the next level. So I was interested to see what Badger would be like in 2016, and it doesn't disappoint. This book is a lot of fun. The only problem is that really it's so dense that you do have to it reads like an old comic. If you remember reading comics from the 60s and 70s, where today's comics you can breeze through in 5 minutes, whereas those old comics, you'd have to sit down for 15, 20 minutes because there's so much to read and so much is going on in the story. That's how this is. So you do have to have a different mindset when you sit down to read it, because you know it's going to take you a while to get through it. And 2, it really is written as, you can't pick up issue 2 and just really pick up on the story. You really need to read 1 in order to understand what's going on in 2, because as crazy as it is, there is a story and there are threads going through it and things working out. So you know, issue two is not new reader friendly necessarily, but I think anybody who picks up issue one and issue two will not be disappointed because it is a lot of fun. And Vladimir Putin is a high level druid. Who's going to take it away.
Oh boy.
As far as other comics, though, I think that really does it for what I read this week.
All right. Did you have any rapid reviews, Agent 70?
I just did the, Totally Awesome Hulk. That was my rapid review. That's all I got left. You guys talked about everything else I read, so.
Clicks of the week.
I was about to spill mine earlier. Mine is surprisingly the Ultimates number 5. I thought that it really... did a lot of explaining. I thought it was a kind of a tour de force for Al Ewing, kind of establishing what the new rules are, if you can call them rules, of time travel and time the interpretation of the timeline of the Marvel Universe. So I thought it was actually it was pretty engrossing. I actually just read it on my way home from Batman vs Superman, and you know, I liked it. I was entertained by the entire read, and obviously somebody does come back in this issue.
Yeah, we already mm-hmm. mentioned it.
Mine is going to be Batman.
Okay.
Because this was the culmination of everything Snyder's been doing. This is one of those great, all the threads come together, everything gets explained. We got a new, a subtle change in the suit, but we got a new suit, we got a new Robin. We got Commissioner Gordon's mustache growing back incredibly, unnaturally fast. All the good stuff you love in comics.
It's got a life of its own.
I think it does, actually. If Batman ever goes down again, I think the next Batman will be Commissioner Gordon's mustache.
Oh!
Red hair with...
All right, Roddy?
Ultimates was a good pick. I kind of want to go with Badger number 2 based on what Dirk
said. Just based on Dirk's
reviews. To be brutally honest. But... I think I am going to go with Illuminati number 5, though.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was pretty great.
All righty. Let me jot that down here in the spreadsheets.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to do that.
I got everyone's in there. Right. I think for time constraints, we may need to skip the news. What do y'all think?
Is there anything we need to discuss?
There wasn't really much to it. I didn't put a whole lot. So.
There's Marvel. Mine is Batman 50 as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Even though I've only read half of it, like you said, it seems to be answering a lot of the questions and sort of the themes that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo had set up in Batman, even with the, of course, we know Bruce is back as Batman, and Alfred even comments how this is like a pure version of him. Mm-hmm. After, you know, no scarring, no nothing. He's at his perfect form, to quote Dragon Ball Z.
Nice.
And that kind of goes along with all the teases of like the future Batman clones and the future like pure versions of Bruce being cloned. So there's always a Batman. That was kind of cool how that tied that together, or at least referenced it. So.
Okay. I saw that there was, hold on, there was some comic news I wanted to discuss very quickly as a fan of Spider-Gwen. Did you guys talk about this at all? Robbie Rodriguez is retiring from comics, the artist and co-creator of Spider-Gwen. I read this and I did a little bit of digging, and apparently he's retiring because his eyesight is failing him. He suffers from a condition where he's actually technically legally blind now, which means he can't drive. But he's still able to, you know, with the help of probably, you know, Zoom lenses and whatnot, able to create art. But he's retiring from comics once a big, long Spider-Gwen storyline is done. So that is sad to hear. Don't like to hear people retiring because they're just unable to do their job anymore because their body is failing them. That's no fun. I've met Robbie Rodriguez a couple of times, and I think I recall noticing that he had very thick glasses on. So the story itself sort of makes sense of that particular observation.
I remember because he was at the Heroes last year, and I don't remember him, unless he had contacts on, I don't remember him having any glasses on. Or maybe he did, and I just didn't pay attention. You know, we can breeze through the news real quick, because, I mean, it's nothing really to go into if you want to.
Just look at the list real quick, and if there's anything that pops out.
Let's see. We got the Luke Cage teaser and logo. Amber Heard is officially confirmed for Justice League and Aquaman as Mera.
That's good.
Former WWE Diva Eve Torres Gracie joins cast of Supergirl as Maxima. Gotham cast Brian McManaman as Clayface.
That's fine, McManaman.
Legends of Tomorrow finale will have a beloved superhero appear to set up season 2. Snyder's Batman v Superman almost featured two major bat villains. The TV pilot cast Peter Serafinowicz in title role. That's just the cinematic news. And in comic news, we had the June 2016 solicits. There's going to be a Bebop and Rocksteady miniseries, Mighty W, in time for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 movie. And again, this weekend is DC Comics Rebirth panel at WonderCon. So go to dccomics.com/live or tune in on their YouTube channel or the DC All Access app to watch live, which I'll be doing.
Probably Periscope.
Yeah. Marvel lets us into a lot of the Civil War II news at C2E2, which our own PCN Dirt was in attendance for. Maybe, I guess next week, maybe you can give a recap on that.
It sucks.
Oh, no.
C2E2 sucks?
Yeah, everything's terrible.
Oh, no.
Okay. Jeez. And there's going to be a Squirrel Girl original graphic novel. And the Vote Loki creative team was announced as, who are these people?
Christopher Hasting and...
Langdon Voss. Oh, Langdon Voss.
Yes.
All right. So that's the news. And actually, that is tonight's episode of Comic Book Chronicles.
There's some free comic downloads from Top Cow. But before we go, I would just like to say... thank you to the Academy. You like me. You really, really like me. I'll be here all week. Thank you.
That's funny.
Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. We're at CBCron and at... I'm at CBCron and at TimDOGG98.
It's late.
Yes, it is. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need.
Benadryl is a hell of a thing.
Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And PCN Dirt is at PCN_Dirt on Twitter. And go to his website, PopCultureNetwork.com.
Yay.
And Ruddy Cat has the new Black Panther Disney Infinity figurine.
Because of course he would.
And we'll be back at our regularly scheduled time of 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's Thursday night.
Yep.
And go enjoy Batman v Superman.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think. Make sure to tweet at us at our aforementioned Twitter handles.
Yes, sir. And we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace. Rest in peace, Five Star.